You're listening to Germantown Community Radio, WRLGLP, at 92.9 FM in Northwest Philadelphia. Welcome to Vanessa's Money Hour, where I profile people, programs, resources, and strategies supporting financial security and wealth building. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowe. The show airs every Saturday and Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I welcome your questions, your guest suggestions, and your feedback. You can email those to Vanessa at gtownradio.com. Today, we're talking about a wonderful program that's starting up in January. It is a series of sessions to help with the ongoing Tangle title issue, and it's sponsored by a particular faith-based organization here in Germantown. So without further ado, let me just make sure my guests have joined us. You know, nobody's in the studio these days, so we've got to make sure people have joined through our audio system. Gabrielle, say hello.
Hello, I'm Gabrielle James.
Great. And Lucy, are you here?
Hi, Lucy Duncan. Great to be here.
And Epchez.
Hello, this is Epchez. Yes. Hear me?
Okay. Great. All right, everybody's made it in, so we're good. I love it when I have three different guests, because it gives a different perspective and more details about programs. And it's also just fun just to have a really rich conversation with several folks. And as you all know, I've done a couple of different shows about the Tangle title issue, and it's one of the biggest issues we've really got to deal with. And it seems so particular to Philadelphia, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's get a little more background on each person. Let's start with this. They are offering a very particular type of program in January. I'm going to start with that so we get those details out. So, Epchez, do you want to give us those details?
Yeah, absolutely. So starting January and going monthly until May, on this third Saturday, so January 15th will be the first session from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Green Street Meeting House in Germantown. And I'll provide that address momentarily. We're going to be providing a legal clinic, a free legal clinic to support Black homeowners in Germantown who are looking for support with any title issues they might be having. In addition to wills and other things that will help maintain property in their families. So that will be happening monthly starting in January. And the address is 45 West Schoolhouse Lane is the address for the meeting house.
Great. Epchez, how do people sign up, or how will they get involved?
So we, in order to not be prohibitive in any way, it really is a walk-in, first come, first serve. But you can also go to our Facebook page, and we will be having Facebook events that you can say that you're going to. And that will help us get a better sense of the numbers. And you should also feel free to email us at our email, which is greenstreetreparations@gmail.com. So if you email us there, it will help. But we are just having a sort of open door walk-in.
Okay. All right. And it's Green Street. I think there's an E at the end of Green, or no?
No E at the end.
Okay.
So just green like the color.
Mm-hmm. Green Street Reparations.
At Gmail. Yep.
At gmail.com. Okay, great. All right. So those are the specifics. Definitely you want to get involved. And the Facebook group is called the same thing?
Yes.
Okay. All right, great. All right. Let's back up a little bit, because essentially we've got a committee of folks here who were involved in developing this and bringing it to the Germantown community. So let's learn a little bit more about each of you. Let's go back to Gabrielle. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you've been involved in what's coming up.
So again, my name is Gabrielle James. I am a homeowner in Germantown. I've lived in Germantown for more than 10 years. I actually live in Mount Airy now, but I still own my home, and I still have family that lives in my home in Germantown. I am a member of the meeting. I joined the meeting almost 15 years ago. I work in housing at a statewide organization in housing. And I just, I wanted to be a part of something that was positive in the community.
Great, thank you. And Lucy, let's hear from you.
Hi, I'm Lucy Duncan. I'm actually a homeowner in West Philadelphia, but I've been a member of Green Street Meetings for I think about 6 years, maybe more than that. And for me, it's this work was really racial justice work is really elemental and really important to me. And the meeting was moving forward with that, and it seemed really crucial that take a material form, not just a conversational form. So I've been really energized by the depth of this work and the real potential for it. I also I'm co-chair of the Mayor's Commission on Faith-Based and Interfaith Affairs, and that body is led by the fabulous Reverend Naomi Washington Leapart, is working on a campaign to encourage 100 white congregations in the city to also take up this work and to do it in a sincere way. So I think that Green Street is just like laying ground for like what this work can look like, and for how to really deeply, like really put your money where your mouth is in terms of racial justice work. Don't just do a Black Lives Matter statement, show up, change your, you know, alter your budget to show that you really care about this stuff.
Great, great. All right, and Epches, give us a little bit more background on you.
Thank you. So I'm Epches. Yes, I'm mostly a theater artist and designer, but I do a lot of work with the Quaker organization FGC, French General Conference. I need to not just use acronyms.
Yes. Thank you.
And my work there is around implementing an institutional assessment that was looking at becoming anti-racist and within their organization. So I've been very involved for a while in anti-racism work and trying to help Quakers at a systemic level step into actually not just being passively racist as most of society is, but step into becoming anti-racist in our faith community. So that's a lot of my work around these issues. And I also do a lot of mutual aid work around the city with mostly within queer community.
Great, great. Thank you. Well, it's so great to have all of you here, and thank you so much for all of your work. So I was recently on a webinar sponsored by Impact PHL, and it was all about faith-based impact investing. And so I'm on a theme here. I love it. And while you all are doing something very specific, I love that, you know, part of this conversation today is really going to be about helping other people who may be in your same or other faith communities to think about what are we doing as faith communities to really address reparations, right? Let's use the word. So Green Street Friends, a Germantown-based Quaker congregation, went on a path. So let's have somebody sort of talk about that path, because there were several steps to that. And one of them was you had some trouble with your building and started looking at your budget. Tell us a little bit about that.
So what happened was, you know, Quakers have been in Philadelphia for a very long time, you know, think William Penn. And so many of our buildings are very old. Our meeting on Schoolhouse Lane is about 150 years old. And we were having leaks and floods, and the building was in very bad shape. So we had someone come in and tell us, you know, this is how much it would cost to fix the building. And we were like, wow, that's a lot of money. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And someone in the meeting was like, oh, well, we'll just pay it. And many members of the meeting were surprised that we could just pay that, that we didn't have to fundraise that. And so we were, then we realized we had money. And so then our next question was, well, if we have money, how much money do we have and what are we doing with it? We definitely wanted to fix our building because that is the center of our community. But we also wondered, there should, it seemed like there should be other good works that we could be doing in our community if we had money. So then we started to have conversations about our money. And then we started something called the spirituality of money. And I don't know, Lucy, are you going to talk about what that was?
It was really a deep dive at looking at like what do we value and how does the use of our money reflect that? And we looked at actually how we are spending our money, and we did exercises like, if you had this amount of money, you know, where would you put it? What would you do? And we looked at that collectively and individually, and really explored like, this is a spiritual resource. It's not just a material resource. How is it expressive of who we think we are? And one thing that I think is really important is that in the last 4 or 5 years, we've been also doing really immersive racial justice education inside the congregation, and Green Street has more Black members than many, many Quaker meetings. And I think that those things really all created the conditions to be able to say, okay, how are we really using our material resources to express who we are and what kind of world we want to live in. So it was really important. All of that process was really important.
Got it. So some people are not really familiar with Quakers, and you know, maybe it's tense, a little bit of history. Can somebody sort of give us a little bit of that? You also have, I've been to, I think, 2 Quaker services, and they were really different. So I think it's helpful to sort of tell people about how your services operate.
Yeah, so Quakers, came here to Pennsylvania a long time ago. Like I said, William Penn was a Quaker. And the idea, the foundation of Quakerism is equality and that of God in each person. So there is this idea that you can speak directly to God. We don't have preachers or rabbis or imams. We speak directly. So when you go into a Quaker meeting house, and there's 2 types of Quakers, there's programmed and unprogrammed. In this area, most Quaker meetings are what we call unprogrammed meetings, which means you go in and you sit in silence. And the idea is that you wait for God to come and speak to you and guide you. And that God might give you a message that then is for everyone in the meeting. So we are all kind of preachers and no one is, right? So I might get a message that I feel is for everyone, and I'll stand up and I'll share that message with everyone. So the silence can be broken with some message that someone is sharing. So the idea behind Quakerism is that you try to live godly, right? You try to live and people should know. It's funny because I definitely meet people that I don't know, and I look at them and say, "Are you a Quaker?" And they'll be like, "Yeah, how did you know?" There is a way. I think that when you are really, almost with any religion, and when you're really trying to do what the religion gives you, the spiritual guidance, that it your light shines. You are become, so Quakers are here. And I think many people don't realize that they actually see Quakers and know Quakers from the schools is really how Quakers are known. So Germantown Friends School, Green Street Friends School, Friends Select School, and even some of the colleges like Haverford College. These are Quaker institutions that were made a long time ago by Quakers. And then the meeting houses are very specific looking. If you ride in Pennsylvania very much, if you drive on a road and it's called Meeting House Road, there's a Quaker meeting somewhere near there. So that we have been here and we are here. And I wanted to point out that Quakers in general are white. Most Quakers are white and WASPy white. And we are, Green Street is very unique in the fact that there are a lot of people there who aren't white.
Hi. Thank you for that. Yeah, that background is very helpful. So what we're talking about and really what we want to spread the word about here is these workshops that are coming up to help people with their Tangle titles. It's going to start. Give us the date again, Epches. When is that? When's the first one?
So the first one is January 15th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
All right. And it's a walk-in session. And it's at Green Street Meeting House, which is at what address?
45 West Schoolhouse Lane. Okay. And I also just want to point out that we are definitely going to be helping people with tangled titles, but probably even more simple to resolve, but can cause trouble if you don't know how to do it. We'll be helping people with wills to make sure that your property can be passed down as well. And there are a few other things that we will be able to hopefully help people with as well.
Go ahead and tell us about those.
So if there are any debts or liens that you need to pay, we'll hopefully have information and assistance about how to, because that's another way that people's titles can not be clean. And so wills, and basically anything else you might be facing that you feel is putting your home at risk. Like
we want to help people. We're going to have lawyers there to help people look at the title, the deed, wills, taxes. We also will try to help with reverse mortgages and power of attorney. If those are all things that we hope the lawyers who will be there and will have a notary there, that so that you can fill out the forms the way that you want them, you know, so estate planning is going to be a big part of it too, so that you can designate who and what is going to happen with your property, with your money, with your pension, so that again, people aren't caught up in court after someone passes away, trying to figure out what to do, that the papers have been written out and processed so that everyone is aware of what this each and every person's wishes.
This is very helpful. And that's the thing, not everybody listens every week, but two shows ago, I played a guest lecture from Tracy Gordon, our Register of Wills, who I probably shouldn't say it, but I think she's a badass. She's amazing. She won that seat of being Register of Wills for the city of Philadelphia from a man who had served in that position for 40 years. And she is really doing great stuff to really try to address the tangled title issue. And tangled title being essentially that you're living in a house that you don't have a clean deed to. And very much of that comes from the fact that, you know, your ancestors or whoever you got the house from didn't do a will. And wills are critically important. So I'm so glad that's a component of what y'all are going to be working. I want to continue digging into these details, but I also want to get back to the process that your church went through to decide on this. But one of the important processes or things that people need to think about and to be prepared is, how should they be prepared? What should they bring if they come to your session?
Well, I have a list of things here. Of course, the deed to your property, an idea of who you want to name in your will, or if that's what you're coming to do. Any information or documents about unpaid real estate taxes, utility bills, or mortgage bills. A photo ID is ideal. If you don't have one, you should still come, but it's definitely ideal to have photo ID. And any information about your family tree that you have. Names, dates of death, death certificate for the owner of the property, if that's the situation that you're currently facing. And then any rent to own or other agreements that you've signed for your property that will affect its title. So those are the basic things, but really if you have any kind of documentation outside of that, that you feel pertains to your home, it would probably be beneficial to bring it as well.
And particularly just to drill in, it's sort of like to prove that you are the owner or the person who should be named as the owner of the home. Is that what we're trying to drill into in those documents?
Yeah.
To bring?
Not so much. What we really want is, yes, I mean, we assume that you're living in the house. Maybe your grandma bought the house and your mom and grandma have passed away. And you're living in the house, but the house is not in your name. right? So we're going to need death certificates to show there is like a chain of the way houses fall in a family. But the taxes are not going to be in your name because the deed is not in your name. The water bill is not going to be in your name. So you, if you wanted help, some kind of utility assistance for your water bill, which you know is how people can get liens on their houses if they can't pay it, but the water bill is not in your name, you're not going to be able to get assistance for that. So yes, we're asking you to bring in your utilities, bring in your ID and different things so that we can establish the property that we're talking about. And then we're going to have to follow that chain to find out, you know, who do we need to talk to? Because you might have an uncle who has a higher claim on the property than you do. And your uncle might live, you know, three states away. So how do we do all of these things? And that's what we're asking for the forms for, the ID, the bills. It's not so that we can, you know, we want to help you make it yours legally. And like I said, it is a process. This is not going to be done in a day. We're going to have the lawyers there, and the lawyers are going to continue to work with you even after the workshops are complete, even after the legal clinics are done. If you are still in the middle of trying to figure out your title, the lawyers are going to continue to work with the people who show up as until their title work is complete.
Right. That's helpful. So let's talk about the partners. So you said you're going to have lawyers there. So how did y'all work all this out? Who are the partners, or who are the folks who are also going to be there?
So there are other members of this group, this reparations working group from Green Street. And one of the members' names is Sharon. And Sharon reached out to Philly VIP. And Philly VIP is a local group. So their website states that they their essential work is to recruit, train, and support the hundreds of volunteer attorneys who represent low-income individuals, families, and businesses, and nonprofits without charge. So that's what Philly VIP does. So we reached out to them and we said, we want to help homeowners in the Germantown area. And they said, okay, we'll get together some lawyers who work on Tangle Titles and who work on estate. And we'll bring them together and we'll bring them to the meeting house. And when people show up, they will work with them. So that's how we got it started. So we're looking for notaries through Philly VIP, and we're looking for lawyers who work in estate and real estate, and they will be the ones who actually do the work to help people retain their houses.
Fantastic, fantastic. Just a reminder, let's see. Well, now we're in December, but October was Estate Planning Month. And it's actually one of the reasons I did the Register of Wills. But anyway, estate planning is so important, and it's not just for rich people, definitely not. Okay, great. Let's get back to the process that Green Street was going through. You learned that you had money to cover the cost of these challenges in your, I assume, very old church. And it's funny because so many churches, like you said, they've been around for years and years, and the fixes to them, you know, whether it's the stones or the windows, we just did our windows at my church. It is extremely expensive. And so that led you to sort of digging into the budget and saying, wow, look at all this money we have. What else could we be doing with it? And then now somebody mentioned a reparations committee. Tell me about that. So y'all did you were doing some education inside. And then what was kind of that getting this to this committee?
So we started a reparations committee about 2 years ago. Sort of in this flow of what's the next step for us, and in the flow of like the realization of the money that we had. And we worked with different plans and trying to like propose different things. And it really wasn't moving, you know, things weren't gelling. The meeting was supportive of our existence, but not really like, oh yeah, this is the right thing for us to do. And I think that one of the things that we came back together, we were invited by the current clerk to present to the meeting, to the business meeting where we make decisions about collectively about what we're gonna do and what our priorities are. And what we decided to, instead of, here's the right project, instead say, let's commit to this actual reparations. Let's commit to budgeting for reparations. And then we'll do the discernment about the money. And for me, I think that it's really important that yes, Quakers have a really amazing spiritual center and priorities and stuff, but we also have our own legacy of complicity with slavery. So Quakers were very present in Barbados, and there are thousands of Quakers there, and only four Quakers did not hold in bondage enslaved people in Barbados. And actually, William Penn was the first slave trader in Philadelphia. He brought enslaved people from Barbados, and he enslaved 12 people on his estate. So Quakers are also really complicit. So it's really important not to people think about abolitionists. It's like, no. we have a deep complicity in this. So when the new clerk invited us, we're like, okay, what? So let's really change our approach and really get us to commit to reparations, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with it. And so Epchez and I prepared a presentation for the business meeting that the reparations committee really thought with us about, where we gave the definition of what reparations is, UN definition. I'll read that in a moment. And which is spiritual work as well as material work. We shared a video by Miss Kimberly Jones that was filmed during the uprisings after George Floyd was murdered. And she really tracks the deep harm of intergenerational wealth stealth of the Black community, as well as stealing of their labor. And it's a very vivid description of what does it, the disinvestment from the Black community, the stealing of labor and of wealth of the Black community over time, what that does. And then we talked about budgeting for reparations and how, and there's a tool where you can figure out, people should look at this, where you can figure out how much of your, how much disposable income you have. And if you are European American, you should be paying 50% of your disposable income in reparations. So we used Green Street's budget, and we gave an example, and based on that, about $50,000 was what we should be spent. And then the people in the reparations committee and presented that proposal of $50,000 a year to 2 months later. And Gabrielle and Epchez can probably talk about that better than me. And really, and the meeting did in that moment approve the expenditure. So $50,000 for 10 years in Germany, particularly to Black Germantown residents to do reparations. But I'd love for Epchez to.
Great. Before we do that, I want somebody to read the definition of reparations, because the word is being used more now, and I'm really glad of that. But let's and tell us the source for that definition.
I can read that. It's this is the UN definition.
The UN legal being the United Nations.
Yes, the United Nations. Thank you. The legal concept of reparations has two components: the right of the victim of an injury to receive reparation, and the duty of the party responsible for the injury to provide redress. Reparations can be sought by individuals through judicial systems, or they can be policies introduced by the state to address the concerns or needs of a wider populace. While the first strategy is instrumental in creating legal precedent, the second is more efficient way to recognize the concerns of more people. So it's really repairing for historical damage that we've done. And I want to make the distinction between reparations, which is direct redress for the harms that you're historically complicit for, and reparative justice, which is we know that we were complicit. Quakers know we were complicit, and we're not necessarily paying the direct descendants of people we harmed, but we understand that we owe reparatory justice to the Black community in Philadelphia. And there's five parts to it, which is restitution, measures which serve to restore the victim to the original situation before the gross violations occurred, damages and compensation, which is the money, like really the provision of compensation for any economically assessable damage, rehabilitation, medical, psychological, social services, and legal assistance. So really addressing the psychosocial ramifications of the harm. Satisfaction, which various measures, which include the cessation of human rights violations and abuses, truth seeking, really telling the truth is a really important part of it. Searches for the disappear, recovery, and reburial of remains, etc. And then guarantees of non-repetition, which I think is really important. Reforms ensuring the prevention of future abuses, including civilian control of the military, etc. Security reforces, strengthening an independent judiciary. There's legal definitions in that. But I think the non-repeat is really important, that the harms stop and that your perpetration of the harms also stop. And Gabrielle,
thank you. Before we go on, and I definitely want to get to a little bit more about that budget tool, because maybe other folks can use that. So, but I need to do a little check-in so people who just joined us know what we're talking about. You're listening to Germantown Community Radio, WRLGLP at 92.9 FM in Northwest Philadelphia. This is Vanessa's Money Hour, and I'm Vanessa Lowe, your host. Today, we're talking to three members of the Green Street Meeting House Quaker community, and they are getting prepared and going to soon start a series of workshops to help the Germantown community with issues around tangled title, dealing with debt, and they're going to have a series of workshops, and so they're inviting you to that. Chez, if you could start maybe with sort of repeating for those who are just joining us when those happen and how people can get involved.
Sure. So the free legal clinics that we'll be having will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every third Saturday from January through May. So the first one will be January 15th, and they'll be at the Green Street Friends Meeting House, which is at 45 West Schoolhouse Lane in Germantown.
Great. So Lucy was just telling us about sort of one of the steps in the process of getting to this project. Was you found a budgeting tool. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I think it's very important to, you know, think about the distinction between reparations also, which is all of the definitions that Lucy just read, which have sort of more of a large scale governmental actor as a piece of them. It's not really something that someone as an individual can do effectively, but it is something. So as we're thinking about, like, okay, us as the reparations committee, how do we take steps towards these larger goals? What we can do as a piece of that is sort of more basically wealth redistribution. You know, we found this money, basically, that the meeting had stored away. We're in the really, I'd say, lucky position of having funds that are in the market invested that are unrestricted. So that's probably a little different than a lot of folks who might have funds that are in the market that have all sorts of restrictions on how they can be used, when they can be taken out. But we happen to have all these unrestricted funds from which we can draw $50,000 a year without any sort of legal ramifications for us as a community. So we're going to do that, right? We're going to do that. And the tool that we used to come up with this number, it's a tool from Instagram, and it was going around a lot earlier in the year, because I think more and more people are starting this process of, you know, and white people in particular, people with wealth and who have larger incomes are hopefully starting this process of looking at their own personal budgets and thinking about how the story of their personal budgets play into the larger narratives of equity in the country. So this is a resource from the Instagram handle, La Contraria, LA.KONTRARIA. And basically it goes through what are the signs that you need to redistribute your wealth. So one sign is that you had a trust fund or a college fund or an inheritance. That definitely applies to Green Street as a meeting. Another is that you went to private school for any amount of time. Green Street actually has really deep connections to a private school and does support that school in many ways. So that's another sign that definitely applies to us as a community. Another sign is that your family sends you money for rent or bills. You can afford to work an unpaid internship. You can afford to travel outside the country at least once a year. You eat out more than twice a week. And both of your parents have college degrees. These are all indicators. And race also, I believe, plays into this, that if you are white, that would also be an indicator. So if a bunch of these things come together for you, and for us, that feels like a sign that, well, we need to think about redistributing the wealth that we have. So in how much should we pay? The practice is to write out all your monthly expenses, rent, grocery bills, and compare that to the monthly income. And then ask how much do you have left over to spend on yourself. And the practice is to try paying at least half of that extra money that's after all the bills and groceries are paid, to pay half of that extra money that's left over as reparations. So that's the practice that we as a faith community are trying to do for our church, and that we're also trying to encourage our white members to look at our own expenses and do it as well.
Thank you for that, Epchens. There's so much that was in all of that. I want to point out a couple of things, but I want to tee up Gabrielle to continue talking about, because the committee was also direct and proactive in engaging the Black Quakers from your church in this. So I want to talk about that. But here's a couple of things I want to pick up on what Epcha has just shared. Number one is I always get excited when somebody on my show starts bringing up one of my top 10 tools. And budgeting is at the top of my list of top 10 tools for financial success. And so I love that, you found this tool and it specifically speaks to reparations. But also, what we talked about before the check-in was how the meeting, also known as, well, that's the thing, I think others of us call them church, but their meeting had a very sort of reflective and long process of coming up with what is going to be these wonderful legal clinics, right? And so you had many steps, including sort of learning. One of the books I want to bring up, I'm curious if you used it, that is, directly related to the conversation we're having, is Edgar Villanueva's, is a Native American guy who worked in especially the foundation world for more than 20 years, and he wrote a book called Decolonizing Wealth. I've mentioned it a lot on this show. And I love that, what the book is essentially saying and acknowledging, and people know what they don't sort of know on a deep level. And I think this budgeting process is a great way to sort of start addressing it, is that, all of this wealth that's in this country started from stolen land, stolen labor, stolen bodies from Native Americans and Africans, now African Americans. And so for me, it's really important then to focus our efforts on those particular communities. Not that we, there isn't work to be done on, issues of the Asian American community and Latinx community and stuff like that. But, particularly when we're talking about the wealth that this country now has, that was the germination of it, the land, the labor, all of that. And so I really love that that book really provides, I think it's a 7-step process. He's talking to foundations, but faith-based institutions are really picking up on it too, and I'm glad they are, because it's a 7-step process that includes acknowledging, apologizing, and then looking at your money and sort of engaging the right people, including those, Native American and African Americans to sort of solve the problem and say what they need. So I love all of that. And now let me turn it back over to Gabrielle to talk more about the process that your church went through and how they engaged the African-American community.
So we basically brought a proposal to what we call Meeting for Business, which is the group of us. Because like I said, we don't have individual leaders really in a meeting house. So we make collective decisions. And so we brought this proposal that Epchez and Lucy talk about. We brought it to the meeting, to the group, to the body, and said, this is what we want to do. Part of that was, we would like this amount of money for this amount of time, and we want the Black members of the meeting to decide what is done with the money. So on reparations group, the working group, the small committee, which is, like I said, about six or seven of us, there are two Black members. So what we do is the two of us, we meet with all the Black members of the meeting who aren't on the committee. And so when we first got approved, we met with them and we said, what are we going to do with this money? And people said things like, our community is hurting. We need mental health support. We need something for our youth. We need to train them. We need to invest in the schools. Maybe we buy laptops for children. Like, you know, we're still in the pandemic. There was a lot of ideas. You know, there are people, Black members of the meeting, who work in mental health, right? Who are psychiatrists and psychologists. There are people who are teachers and administrators for the school district. There are people who, so we have all of these personal passions, right? And there's many things that we thought were important. So because we have the 10 years, we thought what we do now is not what we have to do 5 years from now or 8 years from now. So we're going to start. I work in housing. I work for a statewide organization called Self-Determination Housing of Pennsylvania. And I basically work very specifically with seniors and people who are disabled. And we try to get them access to housing. We try to bridge the information gap between what's available and what they need. And so I said, I've been working in housing in Philadelphia for more than 10 years. I've worked as community organizer in South Philly around gentrification. I used to work at TURN, Tenants' Rights, right? So I used to, so I've worked at all of these organizations, and I've learned, I used to work for the city with Basic System Home Repair. So I knew from Basic System Home Repair, very specifically, people, you have to bring in your deed to get the work done from the city, right? And people would come in and the house wasn't really theirs. They lived there, they paid the bills, but it wasn't there because the deed was in their grandmom's name. The deed was in their uncle's name, you know, that kind of thing. So when the Black Quakers, when the Black members and attenders of Green Street met, I said, I would like to do something around housing. Gentrification is coming to Germantown. People are losing their houses. There's predators in the community calling you. We buy ugly houses. I would buy your house. Here's money for your house. All of these things, along with reverse mortgages that are stealing the wealth of the Black community in this neighborhood. And so I said, how can we help the people who live here, who, you know, might be struggling, right? Because remember, our workshop is open to any Black member, any Black person who lives in 19138 or 19144. If you come in and you say, I need help with this thing, I need, we are trying to help you. We would hope that people who can fix the problem on their own and have the income to fix it on their own won't take that away from someone who can't. You know what I mean? We are not asking income information, but if you can do it on your own, why would you make it so that someone who can't, who doesn't have the money to pay the lawyer, please don't take that away from them. So we are trying, and we're going to do this for a year, maybe 2 years, and then maybe we're going to get therapists. We're going to talk about wellness. We're going to, so we don't know exactly. The Black members of the meeting of Green Street want to help in so many different ways. There's so many things that we want to do. But right now, this is where we're starting.
Great, great, great. Well, thank you. And I really appreciate y'all sharing so much about what your faith community is doing and that particular meeting. So thank you for that. All right, we've still got about 12 minutes. So let's dig into some more of the details. Again, EPCHES, tell us when those workshops happen and help people get involved.
Sure, absolutely. So again, the workshops will be happening January through May, every third Saturday. So that is January 15th is the first one. And that is at 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. So if you are a Black homeowner in Germantown, again, the zip codes are 19138 and 19144. And you need assistance with clearing your title or with estate planning, making sure you have your will all figured out so that your people in the future won't be running into these kinds of problems. Just come through and come over to 45 West Schoolhouse Lane in Germantown. And you can email us with any questions at greenstreetreparations@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook group where we'll be having event pages where you can sign up to say that you're going.
And that Facebook group is what again?
That Facebook group is also Green Street Reparations.
Okay, great, great, great. So I'm very excited about this. I'm going to try to spread the word. How have you all been getting the word out about this, or how will you be?
So we have some pretty great flyers and been just putting them up at a lot of the favorite local spots. Bargain Thrift, for sure. Uncle Bobby's, around at different churches as well. And a few other spots where I've been posting flyers. I gave a bunch to the Germantown CDC folks. They're really excited to help us spread the word about this. Brought a bunch over to Center in the Park, hoping that the people they serve, the folks that this work is applicable to, will be able to hear about it from them. So just, distribution at a bunch of different community partners, some local politicians, offices as well.
Great, great. Well, it's interesting. I mean, with the 10-year commitment, like you started talking about, Gabrielle, there's so much more that could be done. So it sounds like you said you're going to do this for at least throughout 2022. So repeat that same schedule, maybe.
We had a conversation, me and the other Black member who's on this group, this working group, reparations working group, that we start Martin Luther King weekend and we're going to end Juneteenth weekend. And we're hoping to have a celebration, a barbecue, open up the meeting house to the community. And we were talking about how there's like about 150 years in between when we start and when we finish. So between Juneteenth and between Martin Luther King Day, there is so much that has happened in the Black community. So, and like I said, so this is our work. This is our reparations and reaching out into the community, how the spirit has guided us so far to do this work. But yes, we don't know. Maybe every 2 years we switch. Maybe we do this for 2 years and then we do, like I said, mental health. I've definitely been talking to people about how do we get counselors and therapists to give free sessions or to set up and maybe we subsidize so that people can have the mental health that they need. How do we get people to do wellness, to get massages and Reiki and different, like how do we put in the community at a free or discounted rate, all the different aspects of things that people need to be whole and healthy in their lives, in their families. Maybe we start doing something around domestic violence. Maybe we don't know what we're going to do, but we want to help the Germantown community kind of be the best that it can be, to thrive and be whole. And that's what the Black members of the meeting and the Black members of this reparation working group, this is our goal, to take this money and to really just invest in Germantown.
Great. Thank you for that. Lucy, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I think that it's, it's a huge opening and opportunity for us. And I also, but one of the things that we really want is we want other Quaker congregations to do this work. We want other congregations all over the city. The Mayor's Commission is calling for 100 white majority congregations to sincerely engage in reparations accountable to grassroots Black orgs and grassroots Black churches. So we really want this to be not just us one cell. You know, we're very committed to this work, but we want churches all over the city to be doing this work, congregations of all kinds to be doing this work as well. And one thing I want to say is that one step on our process was taking this really fabulous reparations course from the Grassroots Reparations Camp, and which is run by David Ragland, who's a really wonderful guy, who's also the co-chair of the Truth Telling Project. And one thing he says is that reparations is the point between truth and reconciliation. And I think that's a really powerful statement, that we can't, you can't have reconciliation without reparations. And the idea of reconciliation in such a deeply, with such deep harm that has been caused is like unthinkable until we start to do the reparations. And I think that's really, really important. And they do an amazing course. I think their next one is starting at the end of January. And we're encouraging congregations, the Mayor's Commission is encouraging congregations in Philadelphia to sign up for that course. And then the Mayor's Commission is going to be providing some kind of support and education. Gabrielle presented at an event that we did that's online around, she was presenting, she and Maril were presenting around Green Street, but we're really calling, we really want to call in, like, what would Philly look like if, you know, all the congregations or at least 100 congregations were really doing this work, we could really transform the city, and doing it in a deep way, not just here's a band-aid or here's some, often people will do this in such a way that they think it's like charity, and reparations is a very different model and a very different way of thinking about, it's really righting wrongs, and it's around repairing relationships. So it's really important that, and we want the city, the whole city, all the Quaker, we want all Quakers in all over the country to be doing this work as well. So.
Actually, Lucy, you broke up a little bit when you were telling us the name of the program. So how can people tell us the name?
It's the Grassroots Reparations Campaign, easy to find online. Cool. And the reparations course, e-course, that is fabulous, really bring amazing resources and amazing people. And I believe it begins again at the end of January. And 12 of our members took that course in this process. And that was also a really important stage along in the process to get the meeting ready to say yes.
Got it. Great. And Gabrielle, I'm going to go back to you because you talked about Jubilee and that long distance between MLK Day and Jubilee. So I know we're learning more about it, but we didn't learn it in school. So tell us what Jubilee is.
So it's when, you know, everyone who was enslaved in this country at the end of the Civil War didn't find out at the same time that the war was over and that our enslavement had come to an end. So Juneteenth is the day that people in Texas, and I think it's Galveston, Texas, that the Union soldiers announced that the people were free. And I think they read, the whatever it was that, you know, was, yeah. So it was read and people heard for the first time that they were free, and they celebrated and they called it Juneteenth. It was June 19th, 1865, I think, or 1860, when they heard this, and that became a celebration in Texas. It's grown. And now it is a national holiday. Last year was the first time in my life I had off for Juneteenth. And I was just so amazed that I even had off. It's as my son said to me, it's the first Black holiday. Now, I understand that we have Martin Luther King Day, but that is a person. Juneteenth is something that affects all Black people in this country. It is the first Black holiday. Now, we did have Memorial Day, but white people took that and changed it, and it's not our holiday anymore, because that used to be what, Remembrance Day. So, but this is for us. It is a special day for Black Americans nationwide that literally changed our lives. And so I look forward to having the Juneteenth celebration at Green Street. And this year, I usually do a barbecue and stuff like that when I do celebrations at Green Street. And I plan on cooking some food and having, we have a nice playground and a big open space and inviting the community to come in and share with us the reparations work that we've been doing and a Juneteenth Day, Jubilee Day.
And nobody wants to miss Gabrielle's cooking. Cue that Gabrielle host. Nobody wants to miss that.
There you go. I hope I get an invite to it. I'm looking forward to it. This is great.
The community is invited.
There we go. There we go. This has been wonderful. Really, really great conversation. Really, really great resource. And I'm very excited about what your committee has come down to doing as a starting point. I also want to just sort of raise and commend you for, you know, a 10-year commitment. What I've been calling what's been the attention that African Americans and, you know, sort of the race issue has been getting, particularly since the George Floyd and the other public executions of Black men, as I put it, has happened, is our 15 minutes of attention. Particularly from corporations, they've been throwing a lot of money at it. That's like a penny in their pocketbook. You know, Amazon, he's going to space and he's giving us 100,000. But yeah, okay. This will pass, this level of attention and money flowing. So I appreciate this, the 10-year commitment. We are needing to wind down now. This has been a great conversation. I like to leave the space open for just some short closing words from each person. Gabrielle, will you start us off?
Well, I thank you very much for having us. This has been wonderful. And we hope that anyone who is having any difficulties come by, and we are going to do this until our money runs out. Like, we are trying to use all of the funds in the community. Even if we haven't mentioned exactly what your issue is, come down and speak to us and come and speak to the lawyers who are there. Maybe we can find a way to help you.
Great. Chez, let's hear from you.
Friend speaks my mind. Very, very good. just really looking forward to having the opportunity to meet folks, more folks in the neighborhood as well. And please do come down. Again, the first one is January 15th, and that's from 10 to 2 p.m. at 45 West Schoolhouse Lane.
Great. And finally, Lucy.
It's been really, really wonderful to be here and have this conversation with you. And what I would say is we're also, if you listen to this and you're from a white congregation or a white person, you want to contribute to this, we'll accept your contributions and we can grow the fund to support this work. We'd love for you to do that. And also I encourage you to I want to call in white congregations to do this and really lean in to this, as understanding that we don't have to wait for a government to make justice, we do it congregation by congregation in our own city. So join me. And thank
Great.
You.
Thank you all so much. It's been wonderful having you on the show. Again, you have been listening to Germantown Community Radio, WRLGLP at 92.9 FM in Northwest Philadelphia. This has been Vanessa's Money Hour. And today we had three members of the Green Street Meeting House to talk about their free legal clinic starting up in January. Thanks so much. Go out and have a great day.